Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 122 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and her toxins. What? Well, before we get into this podcast, which is going to be just fabulous, I just want you to know that it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode. Rate and review this podcast because guess what? I love to read these. Your feedback is golden. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Raise your hand if you've been reading all about the toxins everywhere in our environment, what we're taking into our body, what? Is this all really true? The answer is, yeah. That's because we have a world authority on this, and this is Dr. Joe Pizzorno, who, by the way, truth be told, is a dear, dear friend for many, many years. Dr. Pizzorno is a world-class leading authority on science-based natural medicine, a term he coined in 1978. He's a licensed naturopathic physician, educator, researcher, clinician, and lecturer. He's the founding president of Bastyr University of Naturopathic Medicine, and editor-in-chief of Integrative Medicine. I could actually go on if you'd like, but it would take a year and a half to finish the rest of the bio, and we'll get to that, little bits and pieces here and there. His latest book is The Toxin Solution, and this book, I really feel, is exquisitely timely, given the fact that so many of us now are really beginning to make, as it were, the disease-toxin connection. And what we want is we want credible scientific information to help us understand what this is really all about. So we have Dr. Joe Pizzorno, and we are so honored to have you, Joe. Welcome to Her.
Very, very kind introduction, Pam. It's great chatting with you today.
I practiced that for about an hour and a half before we went out. Oh my gosh, Joe, it's so good to hear your voice. So tell us what moved you to write The Toxin Solution.
Well, you know, thanks for that question because, you know, that's kind of key to our conversation today. So, you know, I've been involved in medicine now for about half a century. And I was just noticing a couple of years ago the data on diabetes, and it just dramatically increased. So when I was in naturopathic medical school half a century ago, diabetes affected like 0.5% of the population. So it was really rare. Remember my first year of practice, after 6 months, I was so excited when I finally saw a diabetic patient. Well, now it's 20 times more common. You know, what happened? Our genetics didn't change. And people will say, well, you know, people eat a lot more sugar now, but if you actually look at the data, we're not actually eating that much more sugar than 50 years ago. So what's changed? So I decided to dive into the research to try to figure this out. And I started noticing that there was a direct correlation between a person's body load of a wide range of environmental toxins and the risk of diabetes. So I started looking at things like, well, if you eat conventionally grown foods that are contaminated with organochlorine pesticides, then the more you those in your body, the more the risk of diabetes. As a matter of fact, people in the top 10% of body load of these organochlorine pesticides have a 10 times higher risk of getting diabetes. So we're not talking about small factors. You know, people say, well, you know, think about cigarette smoking, it doubles your risk of lung cancer. That's pretty bad. This is 10 times increased risk. So I then started looking at toxin after toxin, and I was seeing all these really strong disease correlations. Now, we know correlation does not prove causation, but it sure shows you where to look. So then I started looking at mechanisms, and I was noticing that these toxins have two ways in which they induce diabetes. The first method is by blocking the insulin receptor sites on the cell walls. So that means that in order for sugar to get into the cells, the pancreas has to overproduce insulin to get sugar into the cells, which is a nice example of how our wonderful bodies adapt to our environment. But the problem is, if you misuse your pancreas for 20 to 30 years, it burns out, and now all of a sudden you've got diabetes. But it's not all of a sudden. You had to work out for 20 years to get the diabetes. So you have insulin sensitivity or metabolic syndrome everybody hears about, caused largely by these environmental toxins. Then you also have the issue where a lot of people actually have a surprising amount of arsenic in their bodies, and the arsenic actually poisons the pancreas, so it can't produce insulin as well. Now, most people listening to this are going to say, well, wait a minute. Everybody knows that obese people get more diabetes and that, indeed, we have a lot more obesity. And it is true that obese people have more diabetes. However, if you look at obese people and look at the obese people in the bottom 10% of chemical body load, they have no increased risk for diabetes. Okay, here I just said. Yeah, everybody knows obesity causes diabetes. But if you're obese and don't have high toxic load, you don't get more diabetes. So as I started looking at it, I realized, wow, these toxins are causing diabetes. And I was looking at cancer, heart disease, dementia, ADHD in children, rheumatoid arthritis, breast cancer in women. I started looking at toxin after toxin, chronic disease after chronic disease. And I'm saying, wow, look at all this disease being due to toxins. And I said, people got to know about this. So I'm doing two things. One is I'm lecturing literally all over the world to healthcare professionals, the doctors all over the world, showing them the data on environmental toxins, how it causes disease. And then I wrote my book, The Toxin Solution, so that everyday people can understand how these toxins are damaging their bodies, how to get these toxins out of their bodies, and how to become healthy.
You know, I just listening to you, I know that so many of our own listeners here in the Herb podcast land are sitting back saying, holy moly, you know, this is really scary stuff. And I know, because I'm a woman and I know how women think, they're saying to themselves, well, what are the worst toxins? I mean, immediately we're kind of getting the heebie-jeebies and saying, what is it out there immediately that we need to really be paying attention to? And so what are the worst toxins and where are they coming from?
Yes. And the answer I'm going to give you is likely going to be a surprise to you, and it sure was a surprise to me. So as I was working on this, I hired two really bright bachelor grads to work with me. And we started diving into the research, trying to answer the question, what percent of each chronic disease is due to specific environmental toxins? And so we went through and spent a whole year doing this. Got a huge spreadsheet with 1,000 cells in it, with all these toxins and all these diseases. And I simply went through and said, okay, now, which toxin shows up the most? Which one's caused the most disease? And the surprising answer was arsenic. Now, most people are going to say, wait a minute, you only get arsenic poisoning if your spouse is trying to kill you. And indeed, that may happen, but it turns out that's not the factor here. What's happening is that 10% of the public water supplies and an unknown percent of the private water supplies have arsenic levels known to induce disease in humans. In addition, if rice is grown in water that has arsenic in it, for some reason, rice absorbs that arsenic very effectively. And the third thing is that up until very recently, arsenic was intentionally added to the food supply of chickens in order to plump them up and also to treat their parasites. So it turns out the average person has three potentially significant sources of arsenic. And this is such a big issue that the CDC, the US CDC, Centers for Disease Control, has listed arsenic as the number one toxin. So then as I was looking at the data on arsenic, I was then looking at what we call thresholds. And so researchers say, okay, so low level of toxin probably doesn't cause much trouble, but once it gets above a certain threshold, we start seeing increased disease risk. So there's a great study that's done in Italy where they looked at 20,000 people, followed them for 20 years, and they followed these people because they just happened to live in a district where some people had low arsenic levels in the water supply, other people had high levels of arsenic in the water supply. So they measured arsenic levels, followed them for 20 years to see what would happen, and then determine the threshold at which when a person has this level of arsenic in their body, they start seeing significant increased risk of diabetes, heart disease, stroke, cancer, wide range of them. And so they say, okay, here's the number. So then we've got some great data in the U.S. where we look at what's the level of various toxins in people's bodies. And it turns out that 25% of the adults in the U.S. have arsenic levels that are known to increase the risk of disease significantly. So this is not a rare, occasional person gets it. We're talking about one out of four people right now is being physiologically damaged by exposure to arsenic.
Wow. I mean, can you believe this? I mean, arsenic, for gosh sake. I mean, and our water supply and oh my gosh, it's just how it's permeated, everything in our environment that we consider to be important. I mean, this is just, it really blows your mind. I mean, all right, so that's one toxin. What's the next? What's another one?
So the next one is kind of my personal, favorite's the wrong word. Okay. The one that I'm most concerned about, and that is when we're looking at the growing behavioral problems in children, ADHD, apparently decreasing IQ, autism epidemic, I'm more and more concerned about what's happening to the children. And when we look at what's happening to the children, it's incredibly scary. So, for example, organophosphate pesticides. So these are pesticides that basically poison the neurological systems of the insects. Well, if you look at children born to women with the top 10% of body load of organophosphate pesticides and compare them to children born with the bottom 10% body load of pesticides, these children have a 7-point drop in IQ. And by the way, that's been proven now with 3 studies. And one of these studies followed these children for 7 years, and they never got their IQ back. So when you're in utero, when you're in your mom's womb and your body is developing and your brain is developing, if the brain is developing in the context of neurotoxins, the brain does not develop as well. So I'm looking at things like organophosphate pesticides, which, by the way, are 50% of the pesticides now used worldwide that are neurological toxins damaging these children. And then you look at things like, we're fluoridizing, we're putting fluoride into our water supply. Well, that's fine for decreasing cavities in people, but do people realize that you decrease people's IQ? So when looking at children consuming water in the top 10% level of fluoride compared to children with the bottom 10% level of fluoride, these children also have a 7-point drop in IQ. So we're doing all these things. So we're basically poisoning the neurological systems and the brains of the children. And, Pam, you and I, we've been around for a while. When you look at the world, does it look to you like it's kind of going crazy? Because it sure looks that way to me. And I think what's happening is we're basically poisoning ourselves.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just sitting back saying, you're absolutely correct. And so many people have just been sort of kicking back and they're fairly complacent. And they're also assuming, interestingly, that everything is being taken care of by appropriate federal agencies, that surely they're looking, out for us, et cetera, et cetera. And what you're saying is not so much. And most importantly, does your own doctor, your own primary care provider even know about these connections? What's your answer?
They don't.
Duh,
I mean, really, I'm going around the, I'm going around the world. I've just in the last year, all the world. And the doctors, the typical response when people have heard this for the first time, when they come to the microphone to ask questions, the typical response is, that's the most depressing lecture I've ever heard. Because
it's like, here, have some Prozac.
Yeah, right. The data is there. But nobody has been paying attention except for us weird guys out there on the periphery saying, wait a minute, there's something terrible going on here. We've got to do something about it.
Yeah. Well, as you're sitting back, it's sort of scary when physicians are of any ilk or any of the primary care providers out there aren't taught about any of this. It's not on our boards. I know that for a fact. Outside of, overt poisoning or something like that, this is more covert, as it were. All right. Then a lot of people would say, okay, what I'm going to do is, fine, I buy into this. I've been exposed to toxins, et cetera. So why not just detox my body?
Yes. So, yes, detoxing is absolutely critical, but you can't detox your body until it's ready because you start to loosen things up before your body's ready to get rid of it, you actually make yourself sicker. So that's what I do with my book. I basically take people through an 8-week program to prepare the body for detoxification. And I'm really upfront about it. I'm saying, I'm going to ask a lot of you, you know, people who read my book and follow my guidance, because, you know, there's no easy solutions. So I say, okay, now we're going to spend 2 weeks, and all we're going to do during those two weeks is make you aware of where the toxins are coming from and have you stop putting the toxins into your body. Because there's no point in doing a detox program if you keep on putting the toxins back in. So we spend 2 weeks just decreasing toxic load. And typically within about a week, a person will start feeling better already. Okay. Then we spend 2 weeks to clean up the gut. And unfortunately, because of all the antibiotics we've been using and putting in our food supplies, et cetera, we've developed for most people a really inappropriate and unfortunately just toxic group of bacteria in the gut. And those toxic bacteria release chemicals that may be good for the bacteria, but they're not good for us. So basically they're poisonous, which means they put a load on the liver to break those things down so they don't cause too much trouble. But the liver, of course, can't keep up with it because of so many toxins. So we spend 2 weeks cleaning up the gut, getting healthy bacteria in the gut, getting the toxins out of the gut. Then we spend 2 weeks cleaning up the liver. We want to get the liver functioning properly so that not only can you break down the chemicals, but you got your bowel working properly so you can get out of the liver into the gut to get rid of it. Then we spend 2 weeks with the kidneys. So as I'm sure you've noticed this as well as I have, and that is we have a kidney failure epidemic. I mean, kidney failure 50 years ago was incredibly rare, and now we've got dialysis centers all over the place to deal with kidney failure. So now we want to spend 2 weeks getting the kidneys functioning properly. Now, we've worked out for 2 months, now we can go into detox program because now the body's ready to get the toxins out. And, you know, I think I've got like 35 case histories in my book talking about various people, how they're having trouble and how they went through the program I described and they got their health back.
Wow. I mean, I love the fact that someone can do a true detox, in other words, one that is scientifically based, that clearly is using natural products, and make someone more mindful of precisely what they're doing organ system to organ system. So as you go forward, you really understand what you may have been exposed to and what you want to try to prevent at all. You know, it's interesting. That word detoxification, as you know, Joe, is just kicked around out there in the stratosphere. You know, you've got Beyonce, you know, drinking some strange, you know, concoction with cayenne pepper and God knows what else, and saying, well, I'm detoxing because I'm just not eating anything. Well, okay. And then God knows what else is out there. I mean, if you put detox, you know, and Google it, it'll probably come up with a gazillion, you know, hits. What can you say to people out there who wander into GNC and then they see the word detox and they buy the product? I mean, what are they really getting?
So that's a big question. And there are indeed some good detox products. But there are also some really bad ones, okay? So it's kind of a rule of thumb. If a detox product is helping your body get rid of toxins, it's probably a good idea. If it's actually loosening up the toxins in your body and causing your cells to release them, it's probably a bad idea. So if you want to kind of
explain that. What does that mean?
So, you know, so as an naturopathic doctor, I always try to work with the body's own natural systems rather than trying to, you know, force something in with a drug. So let's look at how the body normally gets rid of toxins. And by far, the majority of them are gotten rid of by the liver. So the liver goes through a fair amount of energy to break the toxins down. And it typically, for the really tough ones, we'll do something called conjugation. It'll bind them to another molecule. And then it'll dump them through the bile into the gut. Now, unfortunately, about 90% of what's been dumped into the gut gets reabsorbed back into the body. And so why would our wonderful bodies that are so smart do something so stupid that you just reabsorb the toxins? And here's the reason. As we evolved as a species, we had about 100 to 150 grams of fiber a day in our diet so that when the liver dumped stuff into the gut, it would bind to the fiber and we get out of the body very efficiently. But now the average person only consumes 15 to 20 grams a day. So there's no fiber there to bind to the garbage that the liver's getting rid of. So the liver reabsorbs it through the enteropathic recirculation. So any detox program, if it's not having as a significant component of it, binding the toxins in the gut that are being released, then it's probably not a good idea. Now, the second area is to realize that there is one molecule in the body that is by far the most important for helping the body detoxify, and that is glutathione. So glutathione is a molecule that we make. You don't get it from the diet, because any glutathione that's in food is broken down in the gut. So the body has to make the glutathione. And one way I help people understand how important glutathione is to look at how much does the body make. And so, example, if you look at the amount of sugar in the blood, you know, all the sugar that's in the blood is basically decided by the body. It's made by the body or regulated through insulin control. But the body has about 5 millimoles of sugar in the blood at any given time. It turns out we have 5 millimoles of glutathione in the blood as well, which tells you the body thinks that glutathione is as important as sugar, because as you know, if your sugar level goes too low, you basically go into coma and you die. And so same thing, if the glutathione is not high enough, you can't protect yourself. Because what the glutathione does is basically three things. Number one is it acts as the critical and most important antioxidant in the body, protecting us from the oxidative damage that's being induced by these toxins we're being exposed to. Number one, critically important. And it turns out if you look at various species, the more glutathione a species produces, the longer that species lives. The second thing glutathione does is it plays a huge role in conjugation in the liver of many of these toxins. So, for example, when you take acetaminophen, take Tylenol, you think, okay, fine, take Tylenol to relieve the pain. Well, Tylenol is a poison, and your liver has to detoxify it, and a key way it detoxifies it is by binding it to glutathione. But if you're drinking a lot of alcohol, alcohol depletes glutathione because glutathione helps protect us from alcohol. So if you're taking alcohol, drink a lot of alcohol and taking acetaminophen, you're actually getting a damaging effect from the body because the body now cannot detoxify the Tylenol because of the alcohol depletion of glutathione. And the third role that glutathione plays is a very interesting one, and that is it's one of our most important ways of getting mercury out of the body. So it turns out that if you've got mercury in the brain, it binds to glutathione and dumps it out into the blood and then binds to glutathione in the blood and helps get rid of it through the kidneys. So it turns out there, we can increase the amount of glutathione in our body by using things like N-acetylcysteine. And so N-acetylcysteine will increase glutathione levels, which means you're better able to protect yourself from the toxins and get them out of the body properly. So any detox program that has in it things like NAC and fiber is probably going the right direction. But if it has things which are supposed to loosen things up in the cells, well, then you're likely to run into trouble.
Ha! Huh. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so... Oh my, you know, when I'm thinking about all this, I know that a lot of our listeners are sitting back saying, okay, so we're going to go through this detox. This detox is based upon real medicine, natural medicine, that we're learning more about what's more of a positive element in our body that can help us maintain health optimally, like the glutathione. But, you know, here's something else. I bet a lot of people are sitting back saying, okay, I'm going to do this detox. Do I have to repeat it? What do I do after? Is my life different? I mean, what do you do? Okay, we followed through with precisely what you said to do. Now what?
Oh, great question. So, you know, the more and more research I've looked at and of course, treated patients, the more radical I've become in my own lifestyle. I don't know if people have to periodically do detoxification protocols. It's probably a good idea. But what I do know is that people need to make decisions every day not to let the toxins in. And I say this again and again in my book, don't let the toxins in. And the reason is that many of these toxins are very difficult to get rid of, and in particular, many what are called the halogenated organic compounds. So these are things like DDT, PCBs, organic chlorine pesticides, etc. They were designed to be difficult to break down by biological systems. And how do we know that? Well, you look at what's the half-life of these things in the environment, But most important for us is what's the half-life of those things in our body. So let's look at something like DDT. The half-life in the body, in other words, how long does it take for the body to get rid of it, of DDT, depending upon a person's genetics and nutritional status, is between 2 and 10 years. Okay. Now you think that's bad. Well, how about cadmium? Cadmium, when it gets into the kidneys, the half-life is 16 years. So you say, well, yeah, but I'm not eating cadmium. And I'll say, well, are you eating conventionally grown soybeans, soybeans that were grown with high phosphate fertilizers that are contaminated with cadmium? Because if you are, you've got cadmium in your kidneys. Matter of fact, this is such a significant factor that there was a study done, published, actually it was here in Seattle at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. They were looking at osteoporosis in women, and they were seeing this really surprising instance of osteoporosis, and they tracked it down to cadmium causing osteoporosis, and they tracked it down to women eating soybeans, or particularly tofu, causing the cadmium to build up in the bodies. And they determined that 20% of osteoporosis, that was 1 out of 5 women with osteoporosis, had the osteoporosis because of the cadmium coming from the soybeans that they're eating. Okay. So, number one, don't let the stuff in because it's so hard to get rid of. And then the second fact, so when I say don't let it in, so what's that mean? Well, eat organically grown foods. If you're going to buy prepared foods, don't buy prepared foods that are stored in plastic or in cans, because the cans are lined with plastic that leaches bisphenol A into the foods. And when you get the foods home, look at your cooking utensils. Don't use cooking utensils with these nonstick perfluorinated compounds like Teflon. And when you're going to store your food at home, store them in glass containers, not plastic containers, so you don't leach chemicals into the food. When people come into your house, have them take off their shoes because the dust outside is really polluted. In addition, you want to put a really good quality air filter in your house, at least a MERV 8. That's standard. We have a MERV 16. And I just took a picture of our MERV 16 after 9 months, and it just grossed me out anyway because we just put a new filter in. So you want to make sure you're not letting the air in. Make sure your water supply is pure. And if not, you need to get a water purifier. How about your household and yard chemicals? You know, what are you using in your house? Look at the bottles. What's in those chemicals? They're really bad for us. Look at things that have, like Roundup has glyphosate and other chemicals in it. It's not good for us. And health and beauty aids. You know, the things that we lather on our skin. Well, many of the health and beauty aids have what are called phthalates. And these phthalates help stabilize and solubilize the fragrances in our health and beauty aids. Well, they also bind to insulin receptor sites so that you can't get your sugar into your cells and you get yourself diabetes. I could go on, but I think you get the idea. Just look at everything coming into your environment and do everything you can to decrease the toxicity. Eat organically grown foods. Don't eat conventionally grown foods.
Huh. Okay. Do you really, you know, honestly believe that the organically grown foods are that much better? I mean, just, yeah. You know, you've seen all the research and, yeah. And a lot of the controversy around this. What do you think?
Yes, I think organically grown foods are clearly better. Not perfect, but they're clearly better. And, you know, what's available to us.
So it's more of an order of magnitude, really, is what you're getting in there, because obviously nothing is perfect, as it were. And we're just honestly trying to do the best we can one way or the other. This is really amazing. I mean, you know, yeah, it's kind of a bummer of a lecture. I'm sure as you go around the world, it's like, oh, God, here comes Bizzorno with, you know, like bummer news, you know, Debbie Downer, Donald Downer, you know. On the other hand, here's the good news. You wrote this fabulous book, The Toxin Solution. And in this case, you did offer a solution. Here's the way to be able to truly detox in a natural, incredible way based upon, you know, your understanding as a world expert on the topic. And then also some great blueprints on how you can go forward to try to, you know, maintain this level of optimal health, which I think is such a gift to everyone, Joe. And I really, that's one of the reasons why the minute I knew you published the book, I was like racing to make sure to get you on the Her podcast so that we could share this really critical information with all of our wonderful listeners out there in podcast land. So this is fantastic. Where can they learn more about your wonderful work? Which website is the best?
Oh, that's kind of a good question. So two things. Number one, of course, there's a website for the book, thetoxinsolution.com, and there's a website, my own personal one, drpizzorno.com. For those who are more medically educated or understanding, which I suspect is a significant portion of your listenership,
yes.
Go to PubMed and put my name in. And the reason I'm saying that is because the journal where I'm editor-in-chief, called Integrative Medicine, a Clinician's Journal, or IMCJ for short, we're in PubMed, and many of my editorials are available for free on PubMed. So I've written a lot of editorials on toxicity detoxification. And I've also written editorials to, you know, kind of give practical advice. So one of my editorials, for example, is, what do we tell our patients about alcohol? So we know most people drink, and you can drink in ways that are really toxic, or you can drink in ways that are less toxic. So I kind of go through and say, okay, fine. Now, if you're going to drink alcohol, that's fine. Here's the ways to make it less toxic for your body. Same thing with marijuana. You know, now we have not only medical marijuana, but a number of states have legalized marijuana. Well, remember, most of marijuana is grown illegally, and which means there's no regulations on how it's grown. And when you grow marijuana indoors under grow lights, it turns out they're really susceptible to funguses and parasites and insects and such. So they have huge dosages of pesticides on them. And there's no better way to get pesticide into your body than by smoking it. Okay, so if you're going to do marijuana, well, you got to do organically grown marijuana. And then if you're going to use an extract, well, do you use a extract with a toxic chemical, or do you do like a critical fluid carbon dioxide extract? So anyway, so I've read a lot on this, talking not only about the problems of these toxins, but also how to diagnose them, and then also practical things about, well, how do you just every day decrease the toxic load people are experiencing,
right,
and help get them out of the
right
body.
Well, I just think it's time everybody learned about this. So for you clinicians out there, it's PubMed on Google. You know, you could just go ahead and get over to PubMed. And otherwise, just pick up the book, The Toxin Solution. And the website is The Toxin Solution. And we've been talking to Dr. Joseph Pizzorno. That's Pizzorno for his own website as well. Joe, thank you so much. For being
Thank my friend.
On
I appreciate being
podcast.
on your program.
All right. And everyone else out there, remember to catch every episode of HER. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And then take a few minutes to rate and review us, because you know I'm sitting around waiting to hear from you. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeakMD, and you could also check out our HER show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.